We turn in God's Word to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We read the chapter in its entirety. The text will be verse 23. These are the words of the preacher. These are the words of a loving father for his son, and these are the words of God to us, his children. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now especially notice these words to the end of the chapter. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you can see or sense the urgency with which Solomon speaks to his son. In verse 1, we read, Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. In verse 10, again, he addresses his son, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. In verse 20, we read, My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Solomon says, Listen, my boy, give me your undivided attention, because what I am teaching you now is of utmost importance. Oh yes, a father must teach his son or his children many things. Perhaps how to ride a bike. Perhaps How to respect his mother? Certainly. How to be a steward of his money? How to work hard with his hands? Perhaps how to drive a car? A father needs to teach his son many things. But here in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, "My son, this is what I need you to listen to. I want you to pay attention. Learn to walk in wisdom's ways." In the words of the text, verse 23, this urgency is still present. We might not sense that urgency in the way the King James translates the verse, but we could also translate the text this way. Above all thy keeping, keep thy heart. That where it says, with all diligence, keep thy heart with all diligence. That language, with all diligence, is actually at the front of the verse. And what's at the front of the verse receives the emphasis. That's where the emphasis is. With all diligence, keep thy heart. Above all things that you must keep your heart. My son, you have many things to pay attention to, many things to tend to, but above all those things that you devote your mind to this. Watch your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Of course, these are not just Solomon's words to his son. These are God's words to us, his children. God speaks to us this afternoon and he says, "Hear, my children." He speaks to us this afternoon and says, "My son, my daughter, whom I have purchased through the shed blood of my son, Jesus Christ, my child, whom I have adopted and made my own. My child, whom I have put under the lordship of Jesus Christ and unto whom I impart the Holy Spirit so that you are equipped to do what I command you. My son, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Well, that's a word we need to hear, isn't it? Life is busy. Even in these summer months, life is busy. Perhaps it's even more busy, we feel. Not only is life busy, but life is full of all kinds of distractions. There's so many things that we can do with our time, perhaps especially in these summer months. There are so many things we should be tending to. Tend to your fields. Tend to your gardens. Tend to physical exercise with the beautiful weather. Tend to family time. Tend to those side projects that you've been putting off for so long. There's so many things to tend to. And here now come the words of the Lord to his precious children. My son, yes, life is busy. My daughter, yes, I place many demands upon you. But my son, above all things, my daughter, above all that you do, tend to your heart. Keep your heart. In fact, the reality is, the busier that life is, the weightier your responsibilities are, the more important it is, if we may say that, to take the time to tend to your heart. Above all that you tend to your heart. Don't neglect it. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. That's how you live. It's your heart that directs the whole flow and current of your life. Well, that's a good word for us to hear this afternoon, especially coming off of the sermon we heard this morning. Jesus is our Lord. He owns us. He rules us. He loves us. He loves our hearts. He purchased our hearts. And this is his precious command to his precious people. Keep your hearts. We take as our theme, keeping our hearts with all diligence. We look at three things. First, the calling. Second, the reason. And third, the manner. The calling, quite clearly, is to keep our hearts with all diligence. Now, in order to understand this calling, we need to understand what the preacher is referring to when he refers to the heart. We need to understand what the heart is in this verse, because the reality is we can talk about the heart in a few different ways, at least two different ways. And I think that itself is important to realize, especially in the climate of our churches at this time. Sometimes when we're having doctrinal discussions or heated discussions, maybe, we can end up speaking past each other because the reality is we're actually talking about two different ideas. And sometimes that also happens when we're talking about the heart. We can talk about the heart in two different ways. First of all, in a narrower and more technical sense. And then second, also in a broader, less technical sense. First of all, we can speak about the heart in a more narrower sense. When we speak about the heart in a narrower sense, we are referring to the new heart that has been implanted within us at the time of regeneration. The heart, according to Scripture, is the center of our entire existence from a spiritual, ethical, or moral viewpoint. Just as, in a physical sense, the heart is the center of our physical existence, the fountain from which issues all the blood that courses throughout our veins, so in a spiritual sense, the heart is the center of our entire life. The heart is what sets the direction of all our thinking and willing, all our desires and aspirations, and all our thoughts and intentions. Now, the Bible talks about the fact that we have been given, in Christ, new hearts. Ezekiel 36 is one passage that speaks of that. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27, where we read these words, perhaps well-known words. Quote, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." So we can talk about the heart in this very narrow point of view. And when we speak about how God does his work of regenerating us, we can speak about how God regenerates our hearts. God does not regenerate our natures, our bodies, or our souls, but God regenerates our hearts. God regenerates us in the very center and core of our existence or our being. Either a person has a new heart, a heart of flesh, or a person has a dead heart, a heart of stone. And we can say, from that new heart, that regenerated heart, a regenerated child of God does not sin. That new heart is a regenerated heart. That heart, we could even say, is that which is already glorified within us. That's the part of us, that's the new creation in us. Yet, as we also know, we possess that heart in a body of death. We still have our sinful natures. Our minds and our bodies and our wills have not yet been regenerated or glorified. Yes, as we live in Christ, we live out of a regenerated heart. And yes, by virtue of the principle of that regenerated hearts, our minds and our wills and our emotions are affected so that we can use our minds aright. We can exercise our wills to choose the good. We do have godly desires and emotions. We can do good works. Not perfect good works, because we still have our sinful natures, but we can do good works nevertheless, good works arising out of that regenerated heart. As I live out of a regenerated heart, I can use my mind and my will and emotions aright. I can do good works, and I will do good works. But when I do not live out of the principle of that regenerated heart, but I give myself over to the lust of my sinful nature, then I do what is evil. And so the point now is this: it's the heart that is regenerated, not our sinful natures. And again, either a man has a regenerated heart or a dead heart. It's not as if we have two hearts. If I have a regenerated heart, then I have a holy heart, a heart that does not sin. As a recent quote for contemplation from the Bulletin put it, quote, "From the regenerated heart, the saints do not sin," end quote. Now, when we speak about the heart in that sense, we're talking about the heart in a very narrow and even technical sense, a very restricted sense. We need to understand that. But we can also speak about the heart in a broader sense. We can speak about the heart in a broader sense as referring not just to the regenerated heart, but as referring to the whole inner life of the person, or what we could refer to as the soul of the person. The soul of a person, including his mind and his will and his emotions and desires, which are, strictly speaking, not regenerated. When we speak about the heart in the broader sense, we can include the regenerated heart as part of it, but we can also speak about our souls. We are also speaking about our souls. We are speaking about that which is on the inside, all that belongs to our souls, our mind and our will and our emotions. And sometimes the Bible speaks about the heart in this broader sense as well. For example, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And as Christians, we still feel that reality within ourselves, even though in the narrow sense we've been given new hearts that don't sin, there is still within us that which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We feel that. So you see the difference. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David, a regenerated child of God, makes the prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David already has a regenerated heart, holy, but he's praying for a clean heart. He's still praying for that, that God would make his thoughts aright, that God would make his affections aright, that God would make his will aright. In Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus speaks these words in Matthew 12, 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. When we speak evil things, which we do, the reality is those evil words are coming from within us, from within our hearts, in this broader sense of the word. They are coming from our souls, which by nature are still corrupt. And when we speak good things, the reality is those good things are also coming from within us as well. They are coming from that regenerated heart within us, as that regenerated heart has its effect on the will and my emotions and my thoughts. So I hope you see that distinction between the heart in a narrow sense and the heart in a broader sense. I hope that distinction is helpful. And now the point of saying all of that is that here in Proverbs 4, verse 23, I would understand the word heart in that broader sense of the word. Keep your heart with all diligence. That is, your heart, which is the source of all your affections and all your thoughts and all your ambitions and all your intentions and all your hopes and all your desires. Your heart, from which proceeds the words that you speak and all your actions and gesture, your soul and who you are on the inside. Keep that. That's what the preacher says. Keep it. Keep your heart. And now that word keep. That word keep means especially to guard or protect or to watch over. Just think of a keep. Maybe you children, some of you children know what a keep is. A keep is part of a castle. And the keep was that strong, fortified part of the castle that was right in the very middle of the castle. It was the keep, where the king would be kept safe from the enemy. And now think of that idea, that word keep, when you come across this verse. Keep thy heart. Protect your heart. Guard your heart. Put your heart in the keep of the castle so that your heart is protected. That's the idea. By the way, when the minister raises his hands at the end of the worship service and says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee," it's the same idea. The Lord protect you. The Lord guard you as you now go forth into the week ahead. And now Solomon here tells his son, keep your heart. Protect who you are on the inside. And then the word keep can also be referred to or has the idea of tending to something. Just like you might tend to your garden or tend to your lawn, and you take care of it and you weed it and you make sure it is well ordered and God tends to his people. So Solomon says, keep your heart, take care of it, tend it, nurture it, feed it, order it, tend to it. And then Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. Or, again, we could translate it, more than all that you keep, keep your heart. With all diligence, keep your heart. Yes, you have many things to keep. Solomon goes on in the following verses to explain what else we need to keep. In verse 24, he mentions the mouth and the lips. In verse 25, he mentions the eyes. In verse 26 and 27, he mentions the feet, and he says, you need to watch over those parts of the body too. But your heart, that which is on the inside, that's what really matters. Your heart, that's your vital organ. If you lose an eye, well, you'll make it through. I mean, that's one thing. If you lose a foot, that's one thing. At least you're still alive. What you must not do is expose your heart to the attacks of the enemy. You lose your heart, and you lose your life. It's one thing for the enemy to take the village or destroy the town and destroy all the houses in the town. But if the enemy should capture the castle, and if the enemy should be able to penetrate into the very keep of the castle and take the king, then the country has fallen. Then the nation has been conquered. So Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. Again, there are many things we are called to keep. Husbands are called to keep their wives, protecting them and nurturing them. Wives and mothers are called to be keepers at home, watching over the home. Elders are called to keep the flock, watching over the flock, guarding the flock from wolves. But for all of us, as the children of God, the one thing we must keep, first and foremost, above all else, is our own hearts. More than all your keeping, keep your hearts. So what Solomon means is this. Take care of your inward life. Take care of the attitudes that you allow yourself to have. Attitudes either about yourself or attitudes about others. Take care of the ideas that you expose to your mind. Take care of what you allow your heart to pant after and yearn after. Take care of what you allow your heart to set its affections on. What are your hopes? What are your ambitions? What are your attitudes of others or of yourself? How do you talk about other people within the privacy of your own mind? Take care of all these things. Watch over them carefully. Exercise rule and control over the attitudes and activities of your heart. Out of the regenerated heart that Christ has given you, by the power of Christ, watch over the inner workings and thoughts of your heart. That's the calling. Now the question is, why? Why is so much emphasis placed on our hearts? Well, there are a number of reasons. I have three for this afternoon. First, as the text says, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, what does that mean? What are issues? Well, the word issues simply means outgoings. For out of it are the outgoings of life. Think for a moment of a spring, or think of a fountain. And water is bubbling forth out of the fountain or bubbling forth out of the spring. And as a result of that water coming out of the spring, there's a stream that forms. There's a stream flowing with water. That stream is the issue that flows forth out of that spring or out of that fountain. The issue is that which flows out of the fountain. Well, for another example, think of what we considered a few weeks ago, the woman that Jesus healed, the woman with the issue of blood, a woman with an outflowing of blood. That's the idea. So what you have is the heart, and the heart is the fountain. The heart is the spring, and from that fountain, from that spring, flows your life. Out of the heart flows all the streams of life, how you talk, how you behave, your mood, your attitudes. That's the issue of life, the outgoings from your heart that shape your life. So the point is, the way your heart is, that's the way your life is going to be. If a spring is springing forth poisonous water, well, then the whole stream is going to be poisonous. If the spring is springing forth fresh water, then the whole stream that results is going to be filled with fresh water. Just as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Or as Jesus also said in another place, Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. What comes out of the mouth, that's the issue. And it comes, has its source in the heart. And they defile the man, Jesus says. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So you need to keep your heart, because the way your heart is, that's the way your life will go. Do you want to live a life pleasing to the Lord? Well, yes, you do. Of course you do. That's the deep desire of the regenerated child of God. Well, then what must you do? You must keep your heart. What we should also recognize is this. If you fall into sin, if I fall into sin, it's because of this reason. That sin first began in my heart. Why did you lie? Why did you show disrespect to someone in authority? Why did you say those mean words? No, don't say you didn't mean them. After you said them, why did you say those mean words? Because that's what was in your heart. You see, that's why you need to keep your heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. So that, first of all, we need to keep the heart because out of it are the issues of life. Second, we need to keep our heart with all diligence because the heart is exactly what the devil and this world are aiming at. The devil wants your heart. He doesn't care if physically you're going to church. He doesn't care if physically you don't speak one word of reproach against your parents. He's focused on your heart. And the thing is this, he knows that if he can get at your heart, then he can also eventually control how you live your life. So that if he can get at your heart, then soon enough, you will be speaking those bad words against your parents. You will be neglecting church because the devil knows that the heart is what ultimately will determine how you live your life. And the devil wants your heart. The world wants your heart too. If you look at all the commercials on TV, that's really what all those commercials are aiming at. They're aiming at your heart. If they're not aiming at your wallet, they're aiming at your heart, and they're aiming at your wallet through your heart. They want your heart's affection. They want your heart's attention because that's how they can get you to buy their stuff. That's how they can get you to adopt their way of thinking. They're aiming at your heart. So that's the second reason we have to keep our heart. And then third of all, we need to keep our heart with all diligence because the heart itself has a great capacity for evil. The heart itself is a source of evil. And now you see why I want to speak about the heart in that broader sense of the word in order to emphasize this point. I believe this is part of the preacher's focus. Your heart itself is inclined to evil. What I mean is this, in the broad sense of the word, your soul by nature is inclined to evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that's the striking thing too. He says, who can know it? And yet, I think that's exactly part of the calling. We need to know our hearts. In order to keep our hearts, this is part of the assignment. You need to know your heart. The question that comes to us this afternoon is this. Do you know your own heart? Let me ask you this. What particular sins are the sins that you struggle with? Do you have a tendency towards lusting after another person? Do you have a tendency towards drinking too much? Do you have a tendency towards hatred and bitterness? Complaining and discontentment? Self-pity? Do you have a tendency towards dishonesty? Twisting the truth? Maybe you struggle with a kind of distrust towards God. Maybe you struggle with pride or a self-righteous spirit so that maybe you feel within yourself that you often think you are actually better than other people. You have a greater love for the truth than other people. You have a greater degree of righteousness than other people. Or you might even say, I confess my own sins and my own depravity better than other people. What you need to recognize is that these issues are exactly coming from the heart. Your heart is intimately involved in all these things. Why are you doing these things? Exactly because there's something going on in your heart. And I will say this, what is the root sin going to be? The root sin is going to be idolatry. The root sin is you're not worshiping the Lord. The root sin is you're not seeing God for all that He is worth. Your heart is not set aflame with a passion for the Lord and His glory. Maybe you've lost sight of the forgiving grace that He has shown you in Jesus Christ. You've become desensitized to the glory of the gospel. Maybe you have forgotten the claims that God has over you, having redeemed you from sin and death. Maybe you've lost sight of the gospel, that you are not your own, but you belong to Jesus Christ, and you've forgotten how glorious and liberating that gospel truth is. Maybe you've lost sight of the power of God to which you have access in Jesus Christ, the grace to which you have access in Jesus Christ to follow in God's commandments. But whatever the case, your heart is not in the right place. And that's why you're struggling with the sin. And so the calling comes. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You must keep your evil thoughts and desires in control. Put them away from you. By keeping your heart, you will be able to put away those lustful thoughts before they have a place to stand. By keeping your heart, you will be able to crucify those evil words that spring up in your heart before they have a chance to pass through your mouth. You will be able to change your attitudes towards your parents so that you honor them in a way that pleases the Lord. By keeping your heart, you will be able to put from you that temptation. You will be able to resist the devil and crucify your old man. And that's a joyful thing to consider. That's encouraging. Keep your heart. Well, then finally, the question comes, how do we do this? That's really where the rub hits. How are we supposed to carry out this calling of keeping our heart? Well, first, let me emphasize, it is only possible out of the grace and power of God given to us through Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself said, the language he used was, "Except ye abide in me, ye can do nothing." Of ourselves, we can do nothing. In the end, as the apostle says, we commit the keeping of our souls to the Lord. As the psalmist says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Keep my soul. God, protect my heart." Yet the reality is also this. God, who has called us to salvation and who works salvation in us, also now calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so now, knowing who we are in the Lord, knowing who we are in Jesus Christ, we can ask the question again, how do we do this? And if you look at the context of Proverbs 4, verse 23, the preacher gives very clear instruction. Both before and after the words of the text, he gives his instruction. First, notice with me verses 20 through 22. "My son, attend to my words." That's where you have it right there. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." We should recognize, beloved, that's not just Solomon speaking. That's the Lord speaking. "Attend to my word," God says. "Attend to the word this afternoon. Write the text this afternoon upon your heart. Maybe put it on the mirror in your bathroom, so that you see it every morning. Memorize it. Attend to God's word in your personal devotions. What does the psalmist himself say in Psalm 119, verse 11? He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." You children know it. "That I might not sin against thee." I hide God's word in my heart so that I might keep my heart. And what you will find, beloved, as you pass through life is this: the time that you spend in God's word is never in vain. You know, there are so many things that we spend our time on that are, we could say, rather pointless. There are many things we do that don't have lasting significance. Attending to God's word will have lasting significance for life and eternity. Your heart and the issues of your life will be influenced. They will be blessed by attending to God's word. Fill your heart with good things. That's what the preacher says. Your heart will be kept in the way of spiritual exercises. In the way of doing spiritual exercises, your heart will be kept. And what I mean is this. Don't do your devotions as a kind of checklist, just something I have to do. But be in God's word with your heart. Listen to God's word in a devotional way. Sing God's praises in a devotional way. Do it from the heart. That's what your heart wants. Feed your heart. Don't study God's word simply to see how it's going to serve your agenda for the day or how you can win the argument. But study the word so that you might assimilate it and have it be part and parcel of the fiber of your life so that you live by it. And it shapes you and it blesses you so that your heart is set aflame with the zeal for the Lord. And then pray for this. Pray that the Lord, this is what the psalmist prays, that the Lord might incline my heart unto his testimonies. Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. What does the psalmist say elsewhere? He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's the psalmist's prayer. That's the prayer of the child of God, and the Lord is pleased to answer it. So first, attend to God's word. That's what the preacher says in the verses leading up to the text. And then second, notice with me the verses that follow after the text, verses 24 through 27. Let me reread those verses. Notice how he starts with the heart, verse 23, and then he talks about other body parts. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Then another body part, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And then one more, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What is Solomon saying in those verses? He is saying this. The way in which you keep your heart is not just by focusing on your heart, but it's also by paying attention to what you're doing with your eyes, what you're doing with your mouth, and what you're doing with your feet. That's how you keep your heart with all diligence. Stop using your mouth to murmur and complain. That's going to hurt your heart. Stop using your mouth to tear others down. Stop using your mouth to speak perversity. Isn't this the case? I think it's my own experience. That what I speak doesn't just come out of the heart. That's true. Jesus says that. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. But it's also true that it goes the other way around too, doesn't it? That what I speak has a way of coming back into my heart and shaping my heart. I hear it. I say it. Maybe I believe it more when I say it. And like the tide coming back in, it goes back in and affects my heart. We have to be careful what we say with our mouths. In addition, this is how you keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful with what you put before your eyes. And isn't that the case too, that what we put before our eyes has such a powerful influence on our hearts? You see something once, just once, and you can carry it with you in your heart for the rest of your life. And that can be a major source of struggle or temptation or conflict. Watch what you do with your eyes. And then third, this is how you keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful where you go. Don't go to the bars on the Friday night, young man. That is folly. Don't go to those places on the internet where you know you don't belong. Be careful where you go on the TV screen. Be careful where your feet are leading you. Or the fingers on the buttons are leading you. Walk a straight path. Walk the path of righteousness. That's what Solomon is telling his son. That's how you keep your heart with all diligence. And again, we must remember, congregation, this is not merely Solomon speaking. This is the Lord our God. He says to us this afternoon, my children. That's what he says to you. He says, my child. My children whom I love, my children whom I purchased through the shed blood of my own beloved son, the son of my love. My child, I love you, God says. I love you. I love your heart. I sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross that I might have your heart. Never forget that, child. Keep that glorious truth in your heart. Look to Jesus. Meditate on my love for you in Jesus Christ, God says. And then God says to us, and now I call you to be stewards of these precious possessions of mine, your heart. Your heart is not your own. Your heart is mine, but I give you to be a steward of that heart. Your heart is the Lord's. And now, out of the power of Christ, Christ who also kept his heart with all diligence, even to the end, out of the power of Christ, which I work in you, keep your hearts. For you are my children. Just as Solomon loved his son, that love pales compared to the love God speaks when he speaks these words to us. My son, I love you. You are my child, and I know what's best for you, and I want peace for you. I want a long life for you, eternal life. And we know God gives us that eternal life, but this is how he speaks to us as his children. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I want peace for you. Keep your heart with all diligence. And how do we respond to that, beloved? Well, God himself puts the words in our mouths. We take them directly from his word. The psalmist says, enlarge my heart, and I will run in the way of thy commandments. He says literally, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou dost enlarge my heart. Psalm 119, verse 32. Enlarge my heart. Make it bigger. Fill it with thy grace, with more affection for thee. Grant it, O Lord, that I may experience again and again that in the keeping of thy law, in the keeping of my heart, there is great reward. There's great joy and happiness, for all the ways and commandments of the Lord are peace and mercy and goodness to his people. So may the Lord write this word on our heart and by his Spirit apply it. May we take it and heed the instruction of this word. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the wisdom that thou dost speak to us. We thank thee that thou dost not just speak it to us, but thou dost impart it unto us. We pray, Father, give us more of thy wisdom to heed thy word, that we might keep our hearts. Use this preaching for our good, for thy glory. Strengthen us by it. And may we see the blessings that follow in the way of keeping our hearts. And then we pray, Father, search us and know our hearts. Try us and see if there be any wicked way in us. Lead us in the way everlasting. In our Lord Jesus' blood we pray. Amen.